when I was a kid growing up, one of the I used to read a lot of like magazines and different things like play, you know, comic book kind of things, stuff like that. And one of the ones, and I don't know if you'll know the reference, but one of them was a comic called, or a magazine called Mad Magazine. And on the cover of Mad Magazine, there was this character, kind of like the mascot of Mad Magazine. And the tagline that you would see very often underneath this little character was, what? Me worry? And that's the title of the message today, is what? Me worry? Because you see, when we have Jesus in our lives, when we have the God who created the universe coming to make a home in us, there isn't any need to worry, any need to be upset, any need to be stressed or strained or pulled in so many different directions, anxious. But we all go through those moments, don't we? We all go through those storms of life, those periods of dryness, those places where we do feel like it's just a struggle to move even an inch. And yet you know God's called you to go a marathon. We all go through those moments. And today, I want to look at two familiar stories with one common theme. And it's about some people who went through literal storms. And what I want you to pay attention to in these stories today is where Jesus is. It's a bit of like a Where's Waldo thing. I want you to notice, where's Jesus in the middle of these storms? As I said, these are going to be familiar stories. One of them is found in three of the Gospels, in Matthew chapter 9, in Mark chapter 4, and in Luke chapter 8. I'm going to read the one from Luke. It says in Luke chapter 8, verse 22, one day, Jesus got into the boat with his disciples. And he said to them, let's go to the other side of the lake. So they set out. As they sailed, he fell asleep. And a windstorm came down the lake. And the boat was filling with water. And they were in great danger. And they went and they woke him up saying, Master, Master, we are perishing. And he woke up and he rebuked the waves and the raging wind and they stopped. And there was calm. And he said to them, where is your faith? And they were afraid. And they marveled, saying to one another, who then is this that he commands even the winds and the water? And they obey him. Now each of these accounts, the one in Matthew and Mark and Luke, all have similarities, but they highlight different things. One of the things I like about reading through the Gospels is you hear very similar stories, but all from a little bit of a different perspective. But they all have one thing in common. Jesus is in the boat. Now I want us to look for a second at this situation, because these people, we need to remember, are professional fishermen. They've had a lot of research and they've found archaeological evidence of the boats that were used in that time period for fishing in the Sea of Galilee. They've actually found it during low tide and have seen these boats. These aren't the tiny little rowboats that you see a lot of times in the children's pictures for it or in the books. These are like 25 to 30 foot long boats driven by huge sails. These were massive boats. These were big ships. Think again, they're carrying 12 men in the boat, and they were designed to carry loads and loads of fish. This is a big boat. These are professional fishermen. This is not a little summer storm that's blowing up. They were used to rain. It rained a lot on the Sea of Galilee, almost every day. They were used to wind. It blows and funnels through that place. They knew how to deal with that. They were used to water being in the boat. They were pulling in fish all the time. Lots of water got in the boat. You get the sense that those couple of sentences there that say a windstorm came up and the boat had water in it, this was a big deal. This wasn't just some windstorm. This wasn't just a little bit of water. It was enough that it made 12 grown men, many of whom were professional fishermen, had lived their whole lives, their whole professional lives at sea, fear to the point of death. It was a big deal. The waves are swamping into the boat, causing it to fill up. The boat is being tossed about. A couple of years ago, my wife and I took our 20th anniversary trip to Hawaii. And one of the things we did while we were there is we went on a boat tour. We didn't tour a boat. We went on a boat and toured around the island, yeah. I mean, it was kind of like a boat tour. But it was a boat that would have been similar size to this. And we got out to sea, and sailing was very smooth up to a point, and about mid-afternoon, it started to get windy. Now, it wasn't like this, but I'm not a professional fisherman. And it started to get rocky on the water. And I'll tell you, that up and down and moving and swelling in the water is hard to sit still. It's hard to walk around. It's definitely not an environment that I felt like sleeping. It was an environment that I felt like doing something else, but it wasn't sleeping. It was uncomfortable. And all we could think is, where can I go to not be rocking back and forth and being tossed about? And there is nowhere to do it. All of this is happening, and this is a tiny little fraction of what this storm was. And where's Jesus? He's asleep. The boat, he's in the boat. I don't know why, for my mind didn't quite put those together until this week, that it's not just that Jesus is in the boat. Jesus is in the middle of all of this stuff happening, but he's just over there asleep on a cushion. One of the ones talks about him sleeping on the cushion in the stern, in the back of the boat. He's in there like the rest of them, but he's asleep. Totally calm. What? Me worried? He's not worried. Why? Because he's in total control. We see it demonstrated clearly when he wakes up. The disciples wake him up, and it's as if he was just oblivious to all of this is going on, but they wake him up, and he sees it, and he rebukes it, and the waves die down, and the wind goes away, and it's completely calm. It's not the first time that this had happened. The disciples' reaction in this moment, I love the way that they react to it, because what does it say? They were afraid. Filled with fear, some of the versions say. So they were afraid in this moment, but it's not the first time it happens. I want to read you a really interesting little moment from a different story. Jonah rose up and he fled to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. And he went down to Joppa and he found a ship. And he paid him there that way. And on the way, the Lord hurled a great wind on the sea and a mighty tempest broke out so that the ship threatened to break apart. And the mariners were afraid. Jonah had gone down into the inner part of the ship and laid down. He was fast asleep. And they wake him up. And they say, What should we do? And he says, throw me in and the sea will quiet down. And they say, they don't want to, but they say, Lord, then if we do this, don't let us perish for this man's life and don't lay on us innocent blood. For you, Lord, have done as it pleased you. So they picked Jonah up and they hurled him into the sea. And immediately the sea ceased its raging and became calm. Verse 16, then the men feared the Lord exceedingly. And they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows. Why were the men afraid? Exceedingly afraid. It doesn't say they were exceedingly afraid about the storm. They were exceedingly afraid because God stopped the storm. And now? You see, it's one thing for there to come up a storm out of nowhere. That happens. But it's another for the storm to instantly stop. See, that's the thing that I think gets their attention. But now, the same God that stopped the storm is literally in the boat. Why were the disciples afraid? Because that level of control, that level of authority, that level of power is terrifying. I want us to notice one final detail about this story, and it's an easy one to overlook because so much else happens. So many other big things happen. But do you remember how the story started? How did they end up in the boat to begin with? Jesus got in there first and they followed him. And then what did he say? Let's go across to the other side of the lake. It's Jesus' fault that they were in the boat to begin with. All they did was follow Jesus. And where did Jesus take them? Right into the middle of this thing. Now, whether the storm is spiritual warfare, as I've heard lots of people think about, and or whether it is testing that Jesus has of the disciples' faith, I don't know. But what I do know is that following Jesus doesn't mean you're not going to run into storms. Sometimes it means you're going directly into the heart of them. But that the God who authored the wind and the waves is in the boat with you, telling you not to worry. You don't need to worry. What does he say? Why were you afraid? I was here. I was in the boat. You were following me. I want to look at another story about another time the disciples are in the boat. And this one's only found in two of the Gospels, in Matthew and Mark, and both happen later. I'm going to read the one that's in Mark chapter 6. It starts in verse 45, and it says, this is right after he feeds the 5,000. It says, immediately he made the disciples get into the boat. Did you notice how that started? Following Jesus is not for the weak of heart. They already knew what happened the last time he made them get into the boat. Every time they got into the boat, something happened, didn't it? I mean, they got into the boat and they cast the nets, and then the nets were so heavy that they almost broke and they overwhelmed them. They get into the boat and the storm rages. This time they get into the boat. Well, let's see what happens. They get into the boat. Jesus makes them, and both versions say this. Immediately he made the disciples. You get the feeling they didn't want, I wouldn't, would you? I would say, no, it's okay, Jesus. We'll hang out while you're, when you're ready, we'll get in the boat. You had to like go. You had to get them into the boat. They didn't want to go. I totally get it. That would have been me. Immediately he makes the disciples get into a boat and go before him, go ahead of him to the other side of the lake, while he dismissed the crowd. I'm going to read it here. After he had taken leave of them, he went up to the mountains to pray. And when evening came, the boat was far out onto the sea, and he was alone on the land. He saw that they were making headway painfully, for the wind was against them. About the fourth watch of the night, that's about 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. So it's dark. About the fourth watch of the night, he came to them, walking on the sea. He meant to pass by them, but when they saw him walking on the sea, they thought it was a ghost, and they cried out, for they all saw him and were terrified. Wouldn't you be? But immediately he spoke to them, and he said, "Take heart, it's me, don't be afraid." And he got into the boat with them, and the wind immediately stopped, and they were utterly astounded. Again, it doesn't have that, but us. For they didn't understand about the loaves, but their hearts were hardened. Both stories, this one and the one before it, have very similar things. Jesus is the instigator of these events. They encounter harsh conditions as they're going. But there's one big difference between these two stories. Do you know what it is? Jesus is not in the boat. He's not in the boat. He told him to go, and he would meet them. He told him to go, and he's not in the boat. Now, this is a little bit of like a Gilligan's Island sort of scenario. If you remember that one, there was that show, it begins where they're supposed to go out on a 3-hour tour, and the weather, I can't do it without singing the song in my head, the weather's getting rough, the tiny ship is tossed, and they end up, it's hard not to want to rhyme all of this story, and they end up on this deserted island for a long time. This trip across the lake is 8 miles, give or take, across. This trip should have taken, about 2 hours. Jesus sends them to go before him, sends him in the boat after while he dismisses the crowd. So they just finished eating. It's evening time. It's not even that yet, because it says then Jesus went to go on the mountain to pray, and when evening came, he saw that they were making headway painfully. In fact, in Matthew's story of this, It says that the boat was a long way from the land, but when they say long way, what it says is 600 feet. There's 5,280 feet in a mile. It's 8 miles long. They've gone 600 feet. They're struggling. You ever been there? You ever been in that place where you know this ought to be easy? It's just right there. Done it 1,000 times. Why does it take so much longer? Why is it so difficult? Because they encountered resistance. The wind was against them. Now, just like in the other story, the disciples are terrified, and they cry out in their fear. They have the exact same reaction, but not exactly because of the same thing. In the first story, the disciples are terrified because of the raging storm around them. In this story, they're terrified of Jesus. Why? What does that mean? That they were afraid when they saw him. You know what I think it is? Is that they didn't recognize him. He wasn't where they expected him to be. And he wasn't doing what they expected him to be doing. I mean, walking on water. It was unexpected. That's the kind of God we serve, isn't it? The God of the unexpected. I love it in C.S. Lewis's Chronicles of Narnia when they are talking about the God figure in the story, Aslan, and they say, he's not a tame lion. He's not always where we expect him to be or doing exactly what we expect him to do. God is unpredictable and yet faithful. We can't see and know fully and understand everything, and yet we trust that God does. Think about the context the disciples are in this moment. They are frustrated. Wouldn't you be? It's a two-hour thing. They've been at it. It's 3:00 in the morning. They've likely been at it for 10 hours. And they've only gone 600 feet. They're done. They're overwhelmed. They're frustrated. Right? There's a storm and wind all around them. And because of all of this, they can't see Jesus clearly. It's amazing to me how frustration, busyness, exhaustion clouds our view of Jesus. It makes it difficult to recognize where Jesus is. But in our moments of deepest frustration, in our moments of battles and storms, shouldn't we be looking for him? So let me ask, where is Jesus right now for you? Are you going through one of these terrible storms? Are you in a place where you feel swamped? Water is just filling up into the boat, and it feels like it's just going to take you down. Is Jesus sleeping in your boat? Do you need to wake him? Or do you need to model after him? In the midst of chaos, in the midst of turmoil, there must be rest. And there must be rest, not because we have control over the situation, but because we know the one who does is sleeping in the boat. What a comfort to realize that Jesus is not worried. Jesus isn't overwhelmed. Jesus is not stressed out about it. He doesn't wake up and go, "Oh my goodness, I didn't realize." Maybe you're in the other place, feeling stuck. You're not making any headway. You're not getting where you wanted to go. You thought this was not going to be that big a deal. You thought it was just going across the lake. And suddenly it's this huge ordeal that you never planned for. You did not know it was going to be like this. Working hard, getting nowhere, encountering resistance after resistance. Is Jesus just right outside the boat? Waiting for you to invite him in? Waiting for you to call out to him? See, whatever you're going through, Jesus wants to be with you. He wants to be near you. He wants to be in your boat. He wants you to draw near to him. He wants you to invite him in. Do you remember the story I was reading in Mark? It said that he had planned to pass on by, but when they called out, he came in. Don't be afraid to call out to Jesus. Don't be afraid to call and wake him up. Don't be afraid to go over to him. Right? Jesus said, ask and keep on asking. Persistence pays off. Do you remember many stories in the Gospels? One in Luke, I remember in particular, when Jesus says, you know, what about a person that's going to go on a journey at midnight? And he says, I need some loaves of bread. So he goes over to his friend's house at midnight and knocks on the door and says, can you loan me or give me some bread so that I can go on my journey? And the friend says, what are you, crazy? I'm sleeping and my family's here. I'm not giving you bread. Well, that's not how they say it. That's what I would say. But he knocks on the door and he says, that person's not going to get up and give him bread because he asked, but because he keeps knocking on the door. And he goes on to say, which of you as good fathers would give these ridiculous things to your children if they ask? How much more is God going to give you what you need when you ask? Not only that, but he said God already knows what you need before you ask, but he wants to be asked. He wants to be called out to. He wants you to go and wake him up. It's okay. It's okay to cry out to Jesus. It's okay. You might read these stories and you might think that God will rebuke you for going and waking him up or asking him. Because in the story in the first one, and when Peter walks on the water for that tiny little moment, longer than any of us did. When that happens, Jesus says, "You of little faith. You of little faith." You might think if I wake Jesus up, he's going to rebuke me. If I cry out to him, he's going to yell. See, I don't think that Jesus says, "You of little faith," because they were afraid. Fear is a normal reaction in those situations. I don't think it's because Peter sank that they said that he said, "You of little faith." What I think it is, it's because they believed that Jesus was going to let them drown. Jesus cares for you. And he loves you. God will not leave you. He will not forsake you. He is in control. He's in the boat. If you're in that place where you feel like you're drowning, you feel like everything's fighting against you, recognize that Jesus may let you go through some stuff. He may say, making you get in the boat. But it's not because he wants to destroy you, but because he wants to teach you. He wants to strengthen you. He wants to grow you. He wants you to be where he is. That's the goal, right? He wants to be where we wants us to be where he is. He wants to be with us and near us. I want to trust him today. He will not let you down. I want you to hear this promise that he makes in Isaiah. He says, "Fear not." It's Isaiah 43. "I have redeemed you. I've called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. When you pass through the river, they will not overtake you. When you walk through the fire, the flame will not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. Fear not, for I am with you." Rest in him today. Trust in him today. He doesn't want you to feel overwhelmed, to worry, to doubt. God is in control. God is not worried.